You're listening to a podcast from 702.
South Africa is now being accused of foul play. The EU's executive branch has accused South Africa of unfairly protecting its chicken industry with import duties that mask local producers' inability to compete in global markets. South Africa imposed a temporary 13.9% safeguard duty on unboned chicken pieces last month, following allegations from local farmers that European producers were dumping duck meat, which they cannot sell at home. The EU Commission sees no clear economic and legal grounds to justify the imposition of the bilateral safeguard measures. So there was a letter written to the minister by Cecilia Malmström, who's the EU Trade Commissioner. Essentially, she says that you guys cannot compete. Don't blame it on us. It's all your fault. And I spoke to the minister, Dr. Rob Davis, yesterday. I was talking to him about his trip to the UK. I started off by asking him, of course, whether there's panic and is that the reason why he's in the UK, and this is how he responded.
Well, it is that we want to consolidate our understanding with the Secretary of State for International Trade. Where I've not had an opportunity to meet Dr. Leon Fox, that we move in a particular direction on ensuring that there's no interruption in trade between South Africa and the UK as and when the UK exits the European Union. And we have, last year, we concluded the Economic Partnership Agreement negotiations. We now have an Economic Partnership Agreement with the European Union. A feature of that was it improved some of our market access for some agricultural products into the EU. And also that it ensured coherence in the SACU in terms of the entry of products from the EU. Now, we've already been having discussions with the UK through the embassy, through officials. And I think our view, and I think it hopefully is our common view, also with our interlocutors, is that we can build on the Economic Partnership Agreement that can ensure that can be taken over into a UK-South Africa version of the same thing. And that as far as everybody else is concerned in SACU, they have duty-free, quota-free access into the EU, and presumably and hopefully the UK will take that over as well. But in our case, we have a few tariff quota items. There were particularly agricultural products that were tariff rate quotas. For example, we got an improvement for wine. The UK is responsible for about 40% of our wine exports to the European Union. So we're going to have to negotiate the numbers. And I think we want to talk to the UK about when this can happen, how it can happen, and see that we have a common understanding. So that our priority is that when the Article 50 process is triggered and the negotiations conclude and the UK exits the EU, presumably that will happen, that there is no interruption in trade between the UK and South Africa.
Sure. But I suppose the spanner in the works is the Supreme Court in the UK that has ruled that Theresa May must get parliamentary approval before triggering Article 50. How does that affect the negotiations that you're having there?
Well, I was talking to parliamentarians this morning, and they were, of course, very happy that they will have a role in this. But I think that means that the government in the UK has to present legislation. I believe that has already been drafted, so that legislation will be passed through. Will go to Parliament, and there'll be discussions and debates in Parliament. I suppose it's conceivable. I don't know enough about the British Parliament that they take a different decision, but I don't think that's likely. I think the likelihood is that the Parliament will approve that Britain should exit the EU, but they may amend or modify the particular proposals from the government. Mm-hmm. But if the UK is, and I think this is the most likely hypothesis, on track to exit the European Union, we need to make sure that we're not adversely affected as a result of that.
Sure, and you keep on talking about these interruptions. What is the worst-case scenario for South Africa, Dr. Davies?
Well, I suppose the worst-case scenario is that we find that Britain's exited the EU, that we have an agreement with the EU which covers access for agricultural products and other products to the EU. We have nothing with the UK. And then we will have, the MFN arrangement as well, which will have to be determined as well, presumably The UK will have to decide in the World Trade Organization, in the discussion there, what applies to it, will probably be less favorable. So I think that would be it. There would be uncertainty. But I think that scenario is not going to arise because it's not a big exercise between the two of us.
So, no, I'm happy with what's going on and, of course, the scenarios with regards to what's likely to happen in the UK. I just want to quickly move now to the US. There's just so much uncertainty. Just yesterday, the U.S. President Donald Trump signing that executive order unraveling the Trans-Pacific Partnership deal. Others are saying that that sends a message around the world that his rhetoric in the run-up to the election on trade is turning into action. Are you worried?
Well, I think that the relationship of the U.S., as you know, is covered by the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act. The Trans-Pacific Partnership, the negotiations are being concluded, but it had not been endorsed by Congress, so it was not a law. In terms of the AGOA, the 2015 AGOA, 2015 to 2025 AGOA regime was actually an act of Congress, so it would take an act of Congress to change that. But on the broader issues, of course, we remain to see how the new Trump administration, I have no doubt they'll be different. I have no doubt that they're not going to be in the same war game as we've heard before. They will be different. But I was at a WTO informal ministerial meeting that was taking place in on the fringes of Davos. And there's a considerable amount of concern among the players there. As far as I think we're concerned, we're not big demandeers on the WTO. We participate, we see value in the multilateral system, but we're not big demandeers for this or that issue to be taken up in the WTO. Our focus and our real priority is the regional integration on the African continent. Mm. And in fact, I can say that we are close to coming up with something which I think is going to be commercially meaningful. We had just missed it at the end of last year, and that is the East Africa Community SACU agreement on the tariff schedules within the framework of the tripartite, and the Egypt SACU is not far behind. So I think we need to just get on with our own regional integration, get on with our own industrialization, consolidate where we can, like with the UK and the EU, and you know, we'll have to see how the global trade stage unfolds, but I've no doubt that there will be things that are going to be quite different to the way things have been up to now.
Very serious issue developing here at home, and it is in the poultry sector. We've spoken to the players. You are familiar with the issue. I believe there were meetings with all the role players a couple of weeks ago, I think 40 people or so. But the reality is that in a week's time, on the 31st of January, up to 1,350 jobs in that sector will go. Is there anything that government can do at this very late stage to save these jobs?
Well, I don't know whether we can save those particular jobs. I've been getting quite pessimistic information coming from my officials. But certainly avoiding a further set of challenges in the industry and working with the industry to try to strengthen it so that we have a strengthened local poultry sector is very important. And part of that is to recognize that we are facing not just a general competitiveness problem, but we're facing a poultry market globally where there's excess consumption of white meat, or rather there's surplus of brown meat in the developed world. And that surplus either finds its way into the developing world or gets turned into pet food. And if it gets turned into pet food, then it's a much lower price. So there's a lot of pressure to sell these products. Basically, the marginal price is what counts over the marginal cost of getting it to our country. So it's competing unfairly with local products. So I think that while we are talking about a much broader strategy to try to support the consolidation and strengthening of the local poultry industry, I think we do have to recognize that there's a trade dimension. We have put in place a provisional safeguard measure under the IPA. That's on top of an anti-dumping duty. And We'll use whatever policy room we can within the framework of a broad strategy to try to ensure that we do actually strengthen poultry production in our country.
Minister Rob Davis talking to us yesterday. He is in the UK. He talks about this 1,350 people who will lose their job. Is there absolutely nothing that can be done to save these jobs?